Will to the book of Hosea. Hosea chapter 10, I'll give you just a little bit to find that. I wanted to talk about last week for just a second. I wanted to thank the choir and everyone that really had a part in making last week a success. We had maybe 9 or 10 first-time visitors. We're able to follow up on some of those already, and it's been an absolute delight. I wanted to read just a couple of letters that we've gotten back in response to that. From the speaker last week, Sergeant Major Doug Carriger, retired, it says, "And of some having compassion, making a difference." He said, "Dear Pastor Davidson and church family, we want to thank you for the wonderful treatment and the blessing it was to be with the church family at Maranatha Baptist Church. We are enjoying seeing dear friends and making new friends." He says, "You folks are awesome." Sincerely, the Carrigers. We also got this letter, however, from the Sheriff's Department. It says, "I am writing to express my sincere thanks to you for the entire congregation of Maranatha Baptist Church for hosting your First Responders Day this past Sunday. It means so much to be honored in this special way. We are so very fortunate to have the support and love of such a wonderful church. I would also like to thank you for the beautiful plaque you presented to the Sheriff's Office. You and your congregation really went above and beyond to honor the first responders. We will proudly display this plaque in our facility for all of our officers to see. Please know that my office doors are always open to you should you ever need my assistance. On behalf of the entire staff of the Cleveland County Sheriff's Office, we again thank you for honoring us. Sincerely, Alan Norman." And so I think we made an impact in their lives, and certainly those that came heard the gospel. And so that's certainly our mission. That's really what we're aiming at, and we're thankful for that opportunity to sow those seeds. So again, the song service, I had several people, but even the speaker told me, he said, he's probably been in 25 or 30 meetings already this year. He said, "Pastor, that is the best music service I've been in this year." And it was absolutely delightful. If you were here, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And so as we look at Hosea chapter 10, verse 12. The Bible says, "Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till He come and rain righteousness upon you. You've plowed wickedness, you've reaped iniquity, you have eaten the fruit of lies, because thou didst trust in thy way in the multitude of thy mighty men. Therefore shall atonement arise among the people, and all thy fortresses shall be spoiled as Shalman spoiled Bethabel in the day of battle. The mother was dashed in pieces upon her children, so shall Bethel do unto you because of your great wickedness. In mourning shall the king of Israel utterly be cut off." Do we have any gardeners in here this morning? Gardeners? A couple? All right. We were looking at houses the other day. I know we're getting ahead of ourselves again. We still don't have a contract on the old one, but it's hard not to look. My wife has been looking, so we stopped by one. She was excited that it had a garden. I said, "If you're that excited to get a house just for a plot of land, I'll buy you one." But I'll tell you, we both, Missy and I both grew up in houses that were filled with gardeners. My grandmother had a green, thumb that reached up to her elbow. Missy's dad is just phenomenal at growing things. But we quickly learned after we got married that was not going to be the case with our relationship. And so for the first many years, any plant that we bought into the house had about a 3-month death sentence placed upon it. What we learned is that we were getting the wrong kind of plants, ones that need sunlight and water, okay? And so we've got a cactus that has lived for some time now, and we have something else that's been growing for a while, but it's been knocked over a couple of times. I don't know if it's going to make this last move or not. But I was so excited as I began to read through Hosea to find out, as I was studying this, to find out that, praise the Lord, I am a gardener with a promise of a bountiful harvest And if you're a born-again Christian, you can raise your hand with me and agree that we are gardeners. Now, I may not be able to grow a garden full of beautiful fruit or vegetables, but I do want to have a bountiful harvest of spiritual fruit in my life. And so if you and I truly want to bloom in God's garden, we must plant ourselves in God's Word. You know, the story of Hosea and his adulterous wife is a picture of the children of Israel's departure from God and how God's relentless love perseveres through their spiritual infidelity. They had turned their backs on God and were now following after their idols and false gods. They were trusting in the strength of their leaders rather than God's strength. Now, we know that the first few chapters describe the heartbreaking marriage relationship of Hosea and his unfaithful wife, Gomer, while the rest of the book really admonishes Israel to come back to the true and living God of the Bible. And by the time we get to Hosea chapter 10, verse 12, the tribe of Ephraim is being rebuked for their rejection of the one that truly loved them. Now, the one thing that continues to amaze me about God's Word is how applicable it is to us today. Even though this was written probably some 2,700 years ago, the principles that are revealed are still relevant today. And so God's Word is rich in imagery, and in this passage, God is using the metaphor of tending a garden to picture our spiritual lives. And so there are some laws of the harvest. I was speaking to someone the other day about some of the different laws of the harvest that you find in the Bible. We're not going to get through all of them this morning, but we'll see a couple of them from God's Word. Planting and reaping. It says, "Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy." You know, in this verse, Hosea is explaining two laws of the harvest very, very clearly. The first one is you reap in same kind as you sow. You reap in same kind as you sow. These are not original with me, by the way. I've heard this preached. I've seen this before. And so kind of the bones are not original, but hopefully some of the meat is. You know, just as the children of Israel were going after their idols, it's hard for us in America many times to imagine having something on the cabinet that you would pray to. But really, if you think about our culture, it is turning into an idolatrous country. We have idols of lust that are a billion-dollar industry in America today. We have materialism that is rampant. What do we call that? The almighty dollar, right? We even have the idol of fame, so much so that there's a TV shows called The Idol. How much more blatantly clear can you get? And so we as a country find ourselves in the same place, I believe, that the children of Israel found themselves, turned away from God. And so as he tells them that as you sow to yourselves in righteousness, you'll reap in mercy, he's telling us that there is going to be a harvest someday. The question is, what are we sowing? There's no doubt that we are constantly planting something in our lives, and God readily reminds us here that there's going to be a day of reckoning, the day of harvest. And whether that's corporately for us as a nation or us as individuals, the truth is still the same. The person that believes the choices today have no consequences tomorrow is either foolish or is deceiving themselves. You reap in same kind as you sow. I think I put these in the wrong order. You reap what you sow, okay? I think I messed up my note there. But anyways, you reap in same kind as you sow. No one has ever planted strawberries and had green beans show up, okay? Likewise, no one has ever sown sin and reaped righteousness from that. We learn that in the New Testament. Galatians 6:7 tells us, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." That's what you're going to get. What does it mean to reap? It means to gather in, to go out, and what you spent time planting, what you spent time cultivating, is what you will spend time harvesting. I knew one man, he said this, you may feel free to choose your choices, but you are not free to choose your consequences. The choices we make daily are going to severely affect our lives tomorrow, for the better or for the worse. And if we choose to be the wife or the husband that God has designed us to be, if we're going to be the mothers or the fathers, then we will reap strong relationships that reflect His glory in our lives. If we choose to be lazy or slothful or selfish in our relationships, then we're going to reap discord, tension, and anger in our relationships. We must be wise with our choices. If we plant ourselves in God's Word, He is going to allow spiritual fruit to be harvested. Talks about plowing. Break up your fallow ground. Now, listen, not with a tractor. They have such high-tech equipment today. I was talking to someone one time. It wasn't the farmer, but I don't know if he worked on it, but he said, listen, they have tractors now that are GPS-guided. If there's even somebody in the cab there, he doesn't have to put his hand on the wheel because they get the coordinates in and he goes down and the thing will make a U-turn and come back to the other side of the field without being driven at all. It's just absolutely mind-boggling how they do these things today. But that's not so in Hosea's time. He didn't even know what a tractor was. He knew what a spade or some kind of shovel would have been. That hard old dusty ground to put a spade in it and turn it over. It was hard work to turn the land. Fallow ground is land that could be productive, but for whatever reason has not been broken up. It hasn't been tilled or plowed and prepared for planting. The prophets speaking the word of the Lord are commanding the people to break up that soil, which is what? It's our heart. Matthew 13 is the parable of the sower. The good ground, the one who hears the word, he understands it, and it brings forth fruit. That ground that has been cultivated. It's important that we keep the soil of our hearts fertile and tilled, ready to accept the truth and allow it to germinate in our lives. I think about some of the teenagers that I've seen go through the youth group that I had the privilege of serving up in West Virginia. And you could see some signs of teenagers when they start making some poor choices, and it's heartbreaking because you know the consequences, no matter how much you try to love them and warn them, if they continue to make choices that are contrary to God's design and purpose for their life, they're going to reap a train wreck in their life. And it's happened before. And I'll tell you, for teenagers that make terrible choices, for young people that make terrible choices, for adults that make terrible choices, the effect then will be what? One of disaster. But you know, just the opposite is true. And I think if we spend all of our time threatening and warning, and we miss out on the opportunity to say, listen, not only is there consequences or poor consequences for poor choices, there are good consequences for positive choices. And when you follow God's design for your life, I'm telling you, you'll be amazed to see the world crumbling around you, but you'll have hope and you'll be reaping those things in your life because what? You have submitted yourself to God's Word. We keep our soil plowed by allowing the Spirit of God to reveal where our relationship with the Master Cultivator, Jesus Christ, is lacking. The type of soil that we keep will determine how abundant our Christian life is going to be. You know, the Bible tells us to keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. We need to be diligently cultivating that soil in order for God's Word to find a lodging place, if you will, to germinate and be able to reap a harvest of blessing. Fallow ground is that part of our heart that we have not surrendered to God, an area that we continue to keep to ourselves and refuse to turn over to God. For some, maybe it's finances. For some, maybe it's a family. I talked to a parent before. I had a young lady that was interested in missions. And I was encouraging her to go to a Bible college to get some training. And the parent was aghast at even the thought of their child leaving to go to a Bible college to train, let alone to go off to some mission field. And I encourage you, parents, listen, you don't want to sidetrack God's will for your child's life because you can't cut the apron strings at some point. And that's easy to preach. It's not going to be easy to live. I realize that. But it's truth. And so we can't, maybe it's your finances. Maybe it's your family. Or maybe it's our fun. You say, listen, I'm not surrendering my leisure time to the Lord. I enjoy these things. I enjoy doing this. Or I enjoy watching this. Or whatever it might be. There are different areas of our life sometimes that especially men, who are very good at compartmentalizing, we can say, listen, this is surrendered, that's not that big of a deal, and I've already done this, and you know, Lord says, listen, you're going to receive just as much as you're going to sow. And if you are reserving some of your own heart for yourself, if there's some part of your life or some area of your life that you are refusing to give to God, and listen, it needs to be plowed over, it needs to be prepared. When we fail to allow, fallow ground is where no seeds have been planted. Isaiah 48 says, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. So it's not because the seed isn't effective, right? The seed is given. If you go back to the sower again in Matthew 13, you realize it's the same sower and it's the same seed, but the different responses are the different hearts there. So that's why it's so important to maintain a tender heart. You know, I'm not overly emotional person. And so, you know, watching Old Yeller, I could probably laugh at the end, all right? I'm like, hey, they only used one bullet. That's good. That's good marksmanship, right? You say that's kind of heartless. Well, it's kind of a calloused heart, right? But what happens is you hear the same truth time and again, and you get a little callous to it. And you say, oh, what's the big deal? Listen, there's been times where I've told people about the Lord, or there's been times that I've been living for the Lord, and you start hearing a truth. And I'll tell you, especially what happens when you fail to start living that truth that you hear, there's an even deeper callous than that happens to your heart. And what happens then is that hardness of your heart fails then to bring in the kind of harvest that you want to have. It's important for us to maintain a tender heart for the things of the Lord. When we fail to allow God's Spirit through His Word to change us into His image, we've begun to allow our hearts to become hardened, unusable, or desolate. Colossians 3:16 says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly with all wisdom. You know, how is it that God is working in your life? How is it that He is dwelling richly in your life? How is it that you are maintaining a tender heart towards the things of the Lord? You know, one of the questions to ask yourself to see if you have fallow ground is this: when is the last time that God's Word revealed something that changed my life? That caused me to start doing something that I should be doing, that caused me to stop doing something that I shouldn't be doing? When is it the last time that whether through your personal devotions or through preaching or maybe through some kind of family devotion, some exposure to God's Word, you realize that, you know what, I'm not perfect and there's something that needs change in my life, and I'm going to start doing that by God's grace because I'm not hardened to that truth. You know, so often we'll hear truths and and we'll say, I think I'm working on that. I'm working on that. Listen, I'm working on all these other things. I'll get to that at some point. But I don't believe that's how God wants us to live our lives. He says, listen, you have a progressive sanctification. And as long as you have this tender heart and you refuse to allow yourself to be hardened in these areas, listen, God can still then plant his seed in your heart for it to germinate, for you to be able to reap the kind of harvest that you want to reap. Fallow ground is sterile ground. Not only is it where no seeds have been planted, but it's sterile. Ground that could be greatly used, but because of neglect, does not have any useful harvest. It must first be plowed and then prepared. We can't continue with mediocre Christianity if we truly desire the wonderful Christian experience. And I believe there are so many out there that are satisfied with mediocrity. It's like, you know what, I'm a Christian. They might as well be part of the Kiwanis or the Moose Lodge, because that's all the more it means to them. But I tell you, if you realize what Jesus Christ has done on your behalf, if you really see yourself as sinful and undone and lost and away from God, how then can you not be thankful for what he's done for you? How can it not mean something then to live for him who died for you? Listen, if we want the fruit of the Spirit to be evident in our lives, we're going to have to break up that fallow ground, examine the soil of our hearts, and plow what is now sterile and barren and lifeless. That's the only way that we'll harvest that love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance that God desires for us to have and for us to express towards one another. Not only that, but it's pursuing, for it is time to seek the Lord. You see that? You know, there is this great invention out there called YouTube. We were talking about it the other night out there when somebody's car was having some problem. And my truck in the past has gone through some life-threatening, it was that little heart monitor was kind of flatlining. And I was too cheap to take it somewhere. But it was great because I was able to get on YouTube and find out somebody else that had already gone through that. I began to investigate how to fix my truck. And by God's grace, we got it limping along. Now, if I could just find out why those buttons are still flashing, I don't know. And so, I had never done it before, I just started investigating. I was reading everything I could on the forums. I have a little book on how to repair my truck and things like that. I really took some time to find out about this thing because I knew, here's the bad thing about working on your vehicle. Once you get it apart, you can't take it to the mechanic. So I was doing everything I could do to learn about it in order for me to accomplish working on it. Let me tell you, that should be how we pursue the Lord. Hosea said that it was time to seek the Lord. And the word seek there carries with it the idea of investigating, to examine intently, to learn the facts of something that was hidden before. You know, all through the New Testament, you'll come across the word, the mystery of Christ, or the mystery of the church. That which was not previously known is now made known to us. Listen, there's a lot of, I think, mysteries in the Old Testament that still need to be revealed to those of us that have not spent time investigating them. And so there are things that we can learn. Seeking God is like weeding the garden of your life, making sure that there is nothing between you and God, ensuring that no roots of sin begin to choke the fruit that God is already growing in your life. When we had a lawn in West Virginia, I just wanted a pristine lawn. And so, I went through and I got the weed and feed and just the regular feed and all this other stuff, and I started doing treatments. And by the end of the season, it looked pretty good. I mean, as far as the West Virginia lawn goes, I didn't hire a professional to do it. But it didn't look terrible. We did the fertilizer and the weed killer and whatever. But the following season, I decided I didn't want to really invest money on a lawn, all right? And so for the first couple of weeks, it still looked pretty good. But after a while, the neighbor's dandelions had a terrible influence on my dandelions. Okay, the neighbor's lawn had a terrible influence on my lawn, is what I meant to say. And it started sharing its dandelions, and its crabgrass started growing up in places that I didn't remember it. Because I failed to take those weeds out. By the end of the season, it looked just like all the other lawns on my drive, which was fine, really, in my opinion. But spiritually speaking, what happens then when we fail then to weed that soil of our heart, and we allow those sins to take root, and we don't think about them anymore because we don't want to invest our time or the work or the effort that it takes to have some kind of sanctification in our life, what begins to happen to our life then? It manifests itself so that we fail to look any different than the rest of the world, and we look just like everybody else. God's saying, listen, you need to break up that fallow ground. You need to make sure that the weeds of those sins are plucked when they're very young and small and easy to get to. And if breaking fallow ground is giving God the areas of your life that you've not previously surrendered, then seeking God would be weeding and removing the known sins that God has already revealed to us. Listen, we don't want to take a step backward after taking two steps forward in our Christian walk. And so that is the way that we should be focused on learning about God and the precepts and the principles found in His Word. We should be like Sherlock Holmes tracking down Professor Moriarty, learning everything we can about our Savior. We pursue so many other things that steal our time, energy, and affection. Let's continue to devote time to investigating our Savior, Jesus Christ. I believe we need to also prosper. Till He come and rain righteousness upon you. The Jewish culture would have especially appreciated this phrase, for they understood that without God's grace, there would be no harvest. For if there is no rain, there is no crop. Harvest time for the Jews was commemorated with a special feast, which was instituted in Leviticus chapter 23. It was a week-long festival rejoicing God's goodness to them, and it was often called the Feast of Tabernacles, or sometimes called the Feast of the Ingathering, a celebration of the harvest. It was such a joyous time that is often referred to as the season of our rejoicing. And so when we plant ourselves in God's Word, He will rain His blessings on us. The phrase really gives us the third law of the harvest. We reap in a different season in which we sow. Listen, you don't plant beans one evening and go out in the morning and find a beanstalk, unless your name's Jack, okay? And then you have problems. Likewise, godly living and right choices will begin to bring forth His fruits in His season. Truth is, we are an impatient lot. I mean, you think about the conveniences that we have today and how we're still impatient. If you have to wait in line at a fast food place, you're not very happy. I don't know about you. I had a microwave. You don't eat very many microwave meals, but there was something that we got, and I had to cook it in the microwave for like 12 minutes. I thought I was going to die. 12 minutes in a microwave? You know, that's an eternity. We don't like to wait that long. And we certainly don't like, listen, if I made a right choice today, I want to receive God's blessings tomorrow. But that's not how it works. It takes time. You know, I mentioned this, but I want to mention it again. As we reach out to our community here, who really, they don't know where we are or what we believe or anything about us. And that's all right, because we're not starting back a step. We don't have a negative reputation. We just don't have one. And so as we go out and we invite these people to come to our church and say, listen, this is what the Bible says. This is what this church believes. It's not going to be next week that we see a flood of people coming and beating down our door. I don't know that we'll ever see that. But it takes time and effort and energy. And so 3, 4, 5 years from now, I'm hoping that when I go and say, hey, listen, will you come and visit us at Maranatha? I'll hear something like, oh, that's the church over on Polkville. Amen. That's the church that loves people. I hope that's our testimony. But it takes time. And whether you're talking about a church or individuals or a nation, you can't turn a ship 90 degrees. You ever hear that? I was on a big destroyer about 550 feet long. Now, we could stop in about from top speed to a stop was about a length and a half of the ship. So about 700 feet at about 35 miles an hour. That's a quick stop. They would just throw the pitch of those propellers and turn it in a certain degree, and the whole ship would shake, and you kind of hold on, and you're leaning forward, and the next thing you know, you're almost going backwards. It was amazing. It was amazing. But I don't care how fast or slow we were going, we couldn't turn 90 degrees. You always had to go out and turn around a little bit. Now, you could hit the propellers differently. I think if you were stopped, you could kind of start moving it around. But the idea is something that big, moving forward, takes time to turn. And so whether it's your life or the church or the country, as we begin to pray, as we begin to break up that fallow ground in our life, we're not going to wake up tomorrow and see the results of that. And so here's what happens sometimes. We break up that fallow ground and we start putting those things in that are good and right, and we start not seeing the fruit that we're expecting when we see it or when we expect to see it, and we give up. It didn't work. You know what? I'm tired of getting up and praying for my lost relative because they're not saved yet, and it's been 2 weeks already. Right? If we make it 2 weeks. And my encouragement to you this morning is to not give up. If you've broken up those fallow ground and there's some areas of your life that you are surrendering to God and you're hoping to see some fruit in that, but you haven't seen it yet, listen, don't give up! Ralph Wilson, married to Jeannie Wilson. I think they've been married for over 40 years because I know she's been praying for him to be saved for over 40 years. 40 years. He has a slight heart attack, and I had the privilege to go talk to him. I just said, Ralph, are you ready? Are you ready to be saved? 40 years somebody's been praying for him. He said, I'm ready. He hasn't missed a Sunday in the last 2 years, I think it's been. Listen, he got saved. What if she just said, you know what? I've been praying for 5 years and nothing's happened. What if she had said, listen, I've been praying for 20 years and God's not answered my prayer? She prayed faithfully. People in the church, he'd been on the prayer list since the time I got there. But God saved it. God saved it. I believe in a direct answer to faithful prayer. Allowed that to come into his life to see his need for a Savior. And he was ready. Now listen, we can't cause growth in our life. We can only put into our Christian lives those things that promote growth. Our daily devotion time with God, our time alone in prayer, our meditation on God's Word and His works. But it is, and always has been, God that gives the increase. The Bible promises that we will reap if we sow. Maybe not when we want, but if we are faithful, we will reap. And Galatians 6:9 is a great promise to keep us from growing weary and tired and giving up. It says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Don't give up. Continue making right choices. Continue breaking up those fallow ground. Continue doing those things which you know are good and right. And one day, you're going to reap a harvest. Maybe the harvest will be a great marriage one day because you kept your purity. Maybe it's going to be that you have children that go out and are obedient to the Lord because you are being obedient to your parents and honoring them. But whatever it might be years down the road someday. But you're going to reap that which you're sowing. The garden in our yard will not be productive without our regular attention and care. You don't just plant a garden, leave it, and come back later to collect the fruit. The same is true in our lives. We need to plant and reap to have the right kind of heart. We need to plow to prepare and surrender our lives. We need to pursue, weed those sins, and keep a short account with God. And we need to be paying careful attention to any areas that need extra cultivation. It is only then that we will prosper and produce spiritual fruit. Maybe you find yourself drifting away from God instead of experiencing the abundant life that He's promised us. These different idols creep into your life. The things that daily find their way to the top of our priority list and allow them to come before, and we allow those things to come before Him. Instead of trusting Him to get through the daily trials you face, you've turned to the world for their answers and tried to do it all of your own strength. Listen, if we want to bloom in God's garden, we must determine to plant ourselves in God's Word. We must turn back to Him, repent of our sins, so that we can enjoy the spiritual harvest that He desires to give us. Are we planting ourselves firmly in God's Word? That's the question we need to ask. And are we willing to surrender that part of our life that we know is hard and useless to God? Is there something in your life that needs to be weeded, to be removed and repented of? What harvest are we reaping today? It's from the choices that we made before. But what harvest are we going to be reaping tomorrow? One that reflects the glory of God in your life, or that of heartache and despair? Listen, the wonderful choice that we're given today is that we can choose what kind of harvest we'll have tomorrow.